This week's Survivor Exit Interview is sponsored by our friends over at True Car. If you're looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with terms like MSRP. You might even know what it stands for, but what does it actually mean? The same goes for invoice, list price, and dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody, almost as confusing as last night's vote. All you're really looking for is a price that actually means something. Introducing True Price from True Car, now you can know exactly what you pay for the car that you want, including the fees and the accessories, before you even go to the dealership. What? Yes, True Car dealers will show you that true price on cars like the one that you want, all from the comfort of your home. Hopefully it's nearly as comfortable as Navidi Beach. And how do you know if your true price is a great price? Because True Car shows you what other people paid for the car that you want. And your certified dealer knows this. So they set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Sestrino here, getting ready for our Survivor Exit interview, and we are going to be speaking with the latest player voted out of the game, Bradley Kalicki, not sure still what to say there, but Bradley K is going to join us on the podcast today, and so we are excited for this exit interview. I'm sure that Bradley, as in the game, he had a lot to say, so we will be talking with him this morning. So looking forward to that one. Of course, Stephen Fishback and I got into everything on the Survivor Know-It-Alls. That video and audio is up for you guys to check out on robswebsite.com. Today, I'm going to be speaking with Jessica Johnston, and we're going to be talking about everything here from the first 7 hours of Ghost Island and much more with Jessica. And then this weekend, I will have Aubrey Bracco here with me in the studio. You can get your feedback questions in for Aubrey. You can either send them to robswebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP, or of course, email the show survivor@robhasawebsite.com. It looks like that we have Bradley on the line. Let's go ahead and patch him in. Bradley, are you there?
Hey, Rob.
Bradley, this can't be happening.
No, I know. I wish I was talking to you in May, but still good to talk to you.
Okay. Well, Bradley, okay, we got to get into all of this because there's so much of this that still doesn't make sense to me. First off, I want to know, do you feel like the members of the Navidi tribe did you dirty?
Yeah, I don't think Chelsea made a bad move. And I think in the grand scheme of the game, Dominic also did not make a bad move. I think what you didn't see last night was that from Dominic's perspective, and I think from the perspective of most everyone out there at that point, I was not the goat that it appeared I was on TV. Dom thought I was voting out everybody with kids because I had voted out Brendan and then I voted out Stephanie, and he was worried about that. And then he was also worried, because I was working with Kellen and the two of us were so close. And so I think there's more strategic method to his madness than it appears. I think he pulled the trigger too soon. But yeah, he definitely was onto something. And then, I mean, it makes sense. The move makes sense for Chelsea because Chelsea and I did not really get along strategically in the game. So, yeah, I mean, I think it actually does.
The part that I really don't understand about it from Dominic's perspective is that we've been seeing this whole storyline of that there is this battle brewing between Dominic and Chris. And as I understand it, weren't you one of Dominic's allies at the original Navidi?
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I think he pulled the trigger too quickly. I think he was smart to be leery of me, because in the end, you know, I'm not going to probably let somebody with kids get to the end if I can help it. You know, because right there, someone, you know, most people I think are going to be more likely to give $1 million to somebody that has a family and whatever, not a kid that's just embarking out on life. So I think it was too early. But still a good move. Yeah, because I was 100% with Dom. I was not with Chris. And I would have had Dom's back 100%, and I did right up until the vote. You know, I thought we were good. So, yeah, in that sense, it doesn't quite make sense. I think the other scary part, and what I wasn't sure what he was thinking from his standpoint was, I think we're to the point where enough Malolos have gone home that if a compelling Malolo can make it all the way to the end, they win the game. And so for me, I was just thinking, we need to get rid of another one. Because at this point, none of the Navidis, we have a collective interest in getting rid of the rest of the Malolos, because as Navidis, none of us are going to win if we're sitting there with a Malolo, because they've got the story of basically we've been sitting ducks the whole game. I've dodged it and, you know, made it to the end against the odds, and that's why I deserve $1 million. And I think that would be a compelling storyline. If I was on the jury, that's probably how I would have voted.
So when you talk about Dominic wanted to get rid of you because you had targeted people that had kids, was that just something that Dominic felt, or was that actually part of your strategy that you did want to take out anybody who had kids that was in the game?
No, that wasn't my strategy at all. That's just what Dominic thought. You know, we went into the vote that Brendan went home. We were voting for Michael. He said his idol played for two people. We didn't really believe it, but we thought in case it's true, he's probably going to play one for himself and one for one of the girls. So Kellen actually switched the vote to Brendan, because what you didn't see at that tribal is I was a complete mess. I was crying. I was so sure I was going home because I was shocked Chelsea didn't flip on me. I knew Sebastian was never going to flip. I was going to take Sebastian to the end with me. But I really didn't trust Chelsea. And so, Brendan was a kind of a whim that we voted him out. We were trying to actually get Brendan to work with us, and he just wouldn't flip with us. And then, Stephanie was a threat. Stephanie was good at the game. I loved being out there with her. We had a lot of really great conversations. We bonded, but at the same time, I just could not trust her from a game standpoint. And that's why I had to get rid of her. It never crossed my mind that these people have kids, because I like to think in New School Survivor, that kind of stuff is a lot less persuasive than Final Tribal of, oh, I have a family, give me $1 million. You know, my vote is generally going to go like, who played the best game? Who's the most strategic? Who deserves it? I don't care. You already have $1 million, or you are broke, or you have kids, or your dog had cancer, or any of that stuff. It just, I want to play. I would vote for who played the best game. And so that was not my thought at all.
So the episode last night really painted a picture where you are rubbing a lot of people the wrong way. And the Naviti tribe seems universally to be getting annoyed with you. Do you feel like that was not actually the case?
I think some people were getting annoyed with me. Yeah. I don't think it was quite as widespread. I think that kind of developed with me being in the majority at Malolo, where the Malolos, the original Malolos, were kind of upset with me. And I think that kind of edit or storyline just rolled through into Navidi because, there were some things. You hear Dom talk about me talking down to him, and Dom and I have talked about this, and it was because people were throwing his name out at the very beginning. And I talked to Dom a few times, and I was like, Dom, you've got to slow down a little bit. You're playing a little too hard. You're being a little too bossy. And you just got to chill out because people are throwing your name around and we don't want you to go home, because she was part of our core five. And, he told me after that, he was like, yo, you were just telling me how I was supposed to play and stuff. And it was like, okay, I'll own that. Maybe it was a problem with my delivery, but I think the message was, hey, you're my ally. I'd like to keep you in this game. Mm-hmm. People are talking about you. So I think it was definitely more nuanced than it appeared on TV.
Why did you tell Dominic after the challenge, I think you had too much coffee?
I have no idea. Oh, my goodness. I don't know why I say half the shit I said on the show.
Okay.
Oh, goodness. He was like, so hang on real quick. What's really interesting about that challenge is Dom actually threw the rings for most of the challenge, and they didn't show that, and he was terrible at it, and he was so bad at swimming. And it was really awful. And Dom says he threw the challenge and that didn't make the show. But so I don't know one way or the other. But he was a disaster. So I'm sure.
Do you buy that?
I do. I believe him because I've heard that from Chelsea, too. So it's not just Dom's story that he was throwing it, because I heard as soon as I got to Navidi after the second swap, I was told that Dom, when he, after the first swap, had been saying, like, first chance I get, Kellen or Bradley has to go. I don't trust them. They're too powerful together, working together. And so, I think it adds up.
Can you talk about the relationship with Chelsea and how betrayed you feel after you had been with her the entire game up until this point?
Oh, I don't feel betrayed by her at all. I didn't trust her for a second. She threw my name out on day two, and she threw it out to Kellen. And, of course, Kellen ran right back to me and was like, Chelsea's throwing your name out, because what Chelsea didn't understand was that Kellen and I were extremely tight. And so I didn't. And so I think the reason why she was with us at Malolo was that Kellen had Chelsea wrapped around her finger. And so she was able to keep Chelsea in line. And then as soon as Kellen was gone, I knew when I got swapped with Chelsea, I mean, I was like, really, I'm stuck with Chelsea again, because we didn't trust each other at all. And it wasn't for a lack of trying, because I think what you would assume from my edit is that I was not trying to make personal connections. I was not trying to talk game with these people. It's like when we got to Malolo, we worked those four Malolo constantly trying to get to know them, trying to talk game. We were trying to get one of them to flip. None of them would flip. They didn't want to talk. You know, they didn't even want to play with us. We got there, and they wouldn't sleep in the shelter with us. And they went to the beach and cried. And I went down there and it was like, guys, we haven't even lost an immunity challenge. Like, we just want to get to know you at this point. And so it was really tough with Chelsea. It was a huge bummer to play on her. I mean, I thought, so the whole time I was in Australia, of course, before we all got back to the States and were able to talk, I thought Chelsea was the one who flipped on me, and that it wasn't Dom's idea. I thought it was Chelsea's.
Interesting. Talk to me about the tribal council that you guys went to, where the Malolo people were trying to throw that shade against you and get everybody to, or at least one person to flip against you. Do you feel like that anything they said stuck, and that's one of the reasons why Chelsea ultimately wanted to get rid of you? Did they plant a seed?
I mean, it may have added to it. I think the fact that she threw my name out on day two kind of tells me that I was already on her radar. So maybe this heightened me on her radar, but I don't think it changed much. I will say I'm shocked Chelsea didn't flip in the Brendan boat. I'm truly surprised. Mm-hmm. I knew Sebastian wasn't, so it was funny watching it back, and where he seems they act like he's considering it, because I mean, Sebastian was with me to a fault. But not Chelsea at all. I mean, it was really rough. And what you saw on TV was only half as bad as what they said about me when it actually went down.
I bet. Should we give any credit to Libby or Donathan for getting this vote turned against you?
Absolutely not.
None?
Oh, none. Those two, yeah. Oh, boy. No, they deserve no credit. This is all Dom. Dom is playing a kick-ass game. He's running circles around everybody else, and Donathan and Libby are just along for the ride.
Talk to me. We saw that the Navidi group decided to send Kellen to Ghost Island. Was that your idea, or was that a group decision?
No, that was definitely my idea. I wanted her to go because I knew if she got an advantage, that would be, one, I would know about it, and two, then, you know, we would essentially probably get to play it as a unit. Or kind of strategize as to how to use it. So yeah, that was 100% strategic, wanting her to go. And then I think Chelsea, I was like, oh, we should send Kellen. And then Chelsea was like, yeah, because she's been before. And I was like, yeah, exactly. Sure. Mm-hmm. That was like a recurring theme with her. She would come up with some completely other reason of why we should do something that Kellen and I had already decided, or I had already decided, because that's how we operated at Malolo. Kellen and I would decide what we were going to do, who we were going to vote for, and then we would break apart and talk to the other three individually and then as a group, and we would wait and never throw a name out, and we would wait until one of those three would throw a name out, and then we would encourage it. And so that's how we made Chelsea and Dez feel like, and even Sebastian a little bit, but he didn't really care. We made them feel like they were making the decision, and that's how you see it on TV. It's like, oh, looks like it was Dez's idea, and it's like, no, we just waited for Dez to, you know, come up with it. What they don't show you is like the 10 other ideas that they had that, you know, we shot right down. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, definitely wanted to tell it.
Now, Bradley, I watched the show very closely, and I didn't really think that the Malolo camp and beach seemed that bad.
Yeah, what's interesting about my complaining is it was very strategic what I was trying to do, and it didn't work. I will admit that 100%. What I was trying to do was to make the Malolos feel like that it wasn't their fault that they had been losing, because what's different about the Malolo Beach versus the Navidi Beach, and it's the big difference, is that it gets super, super windy every night. Like, literally, as the sun would set, you'd see the last little sliver of the sun, and the wind would pipe up, you know, 20 or 30 miles an hour, and it would get so cold that we couldn't sleep. And so I was just trying to say, like, you know, this is, it's so cold here. We can't sleep. This is why, you know, Malolo keeps losing, because at Navidi Beach is on a different side of the island. And so it's protected from the wind. And so it was warm and it was nice and we were sleeping a bunch. And so I made them feel better the first day of it. I was like, oh, this is not working at all. This is not having my intended effect. And so I kind of stopped doing that. But it didn't work. But there was definitely a method to the complaining. It just didn't work out.
Yeah. No, Bradley, I thought you were a lot of fun to watch here over these first 7 hours of Ghost Island. Is returning to Survivor something that is interesting to you?
Yeah, I'd love to return. You know, I want to take the Survivor experience that I already had and appreciate it and not spend a lot of time sitting around hoping for more, and kind of take what I learned and gain from the adventure and apply it to my daily life so it's sustainable on a long-term scale. But yeah, I would play again in a heartbeat. It was the coolest thing I've ever done. Truly the adventure of a lifetime. And it was so incredible getting to meet everybody without technology. You know, just getting to meet people, for who they are and who they, you know, represented themselves to be out there. It was really kind of a fun social experiment in that sense.
Okay, Bradley, I know you got to run, but looking forward to catching up more with you at some point down the road. All the best, buddy, okay?
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Rob. It was great to talk to you.
Okay, take care, Bradley. Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. Survivor Bradley had a pretty good attitude about the whole thing and felt like, look, they got to take him out now. Otherwise, if they don't stop him, he's a threat to take it all. So good job there by Survivor Bradley. And does not care much for Chelsea. We also learned that today. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and switch gears and bring back the host and the guy who never complains about anything. The host of This Week in Survivor History, the great Jordan Kalish. Jordan, how are you?
I'm doing well. How's it going?
Going great. Coming off a big shutout win of two Survivor winners back in Reno. Jordan, did you get a lot of feedback from the listeners in terms of the rule change that was instituted?
Not too much about the rule change. I think the, like, the two tweets I got about it were positive. I think people like that you could steal a point. So I think we're going to continue it this week.
Okay. We're going to continue it this week and we're going to bring in somebody. Now I'm a little nervous about this because this is a longtime collaborator of yours. Somebody who's been a mainstay on the Wandoff scene this year. Please welcome back to the podcast a member of the Survivor Supreme Court, Aaron Robertson. Aaron, how are you?
I am doing very well and swell.
Well and swell.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the hashtag.
Okay. Yeah, it's the new spin and grin.
Okay. All right. So, Aaron, happy to have you back here, and hopefully I will defend my title after last week's show. What was it? What was the final score? Was it 7-0?
I believe it was either 6 or 7-0. It was a shutout and you had a lot of points.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, wow.
I wish I could have saved some of those points for this week, but I'll have to start from scratch. Okay. Of course, just want to put it out there one last time. We will. I said that we were going to do this just for March, but we will extend it one more time that we have a very special prize for the This Week in Survivor History quiz. We will let one listener enter the octagon, take me on head to head. That we said we were going to do it in March, but we started a little late. So we'll give you one last week here in April. Go to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. Leave us your feedback and star ratings in the iTunes store for Rob as a Podcast. And we will randomly select one lucky commenter. And I guess you got to put some way for us to contact you in there. And then, unless I know you, and then we will invite you here to take me on here in the dojo. That's at robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. And then leave us your feedback and star ratings in the iTunes store. Of course, we always appreciate it when you do that because it helps more people find the show. Okay, Jordan, let's hear the categories for this week.
All right. So the categories that we have What Is This? The Love Know-It-Alls, Potent Quotables, 2v2, and Meke. And as you guys know, each category corresponds with a question. If you are correct, you get 2 points. If you don't use the multiple choice, 1 point. If you do, get the multiple choice. And then the continuation of the new rule from last week, if you go for two and miss, your opponent gets to steal a point. And Aaron, you are the guest. You get to choose the first category.
You know, I've always wanted a Meke challenge, so I'll go with Meke first.
Okay, Meke. And as we know from the Hello PG video, you're a very good dancer, so you probably would have done well in this challenge. we're going to go obviously to Survivor Fiji. So you think you can Meke from April 5th, 2007, 11 years ago today. Who sat out of the Meke reward challenge in Survivor Fiji and therefore did not come dressed to the challenge in traditional Fijian garb?
Oh my gosh. Who sat out?
Who did not Meke?
Okay. Well, this is when, this is post WAP. So, I remember Earl was in the challenge. I remember Michelle was there. Yaman was there. I remember Dreams doing the flip. Because I remember the boys and, oh my goodness. I'm going to throw it out there. I'm just going to say, Was it Anthony?
Anthony was actually not in the game at that point. So based on the new rule, Rob, you get to steal 1 point here.
Free shot on goal here.
Yeah.
I will say Yao Man.
Yao Man is correct. Very good. Yao Man did not Meke. Neither did Anthony Robinson, but he did not sit out of the challenge because he was not playing Survivor at that point. So, Rob, you get a point, and it is your turn to pick the category. And this new rule change has really turned around your luck starting last week and now into this week. So, Rob, which category would you like?
Yeah, I will take, what is this, the Love Know-It-Alls?
What is this, the Love Know-It-Alls? We're going to go to Survivor Karamoan Blindside Time from April 3rd, 2013, 5 years ago Tuesday. In the Karamoan Merge episode, what does Cochran say can improve his dating prospects after the game?
What did he say could improve his dating? I'm going to need to hear the multiple choices.
Okay. Was it A, taking out one of the fan alpha males, such as Eddie or Reynolds? Was it B, participating in the gross food eating challenge? C, blindsiding one of his fellow favorites? Or D, going to Stephen Fishback's Disney bachelor party?
It was going to be competing in the gross food competition.
That is correct. And you get 1 point for that, which gives you a total of two. He said that it's going to make him look dangerous and sort of give him a wild streak that's going to potentially help him with the ladies. Eddie Fox was sort of worried that the grossness was going to hurt his dating prospects after the game, but Cochran had a different viewpoint on that. So now, Aaron, it is your turn to choose a category. You're down 2-0. Doesn't mean you're out of it. And we have potent quotables or 2v2.
Potent quotables.
Okay, potent quotables, and we are going to stay in Karamoan. What athlete does Corinne quote at the tribal council in which she is blindsided?
Athlete?
What athlete?
I don't get any lifelines, do I?
You could hear the multiple choice questions, but you would only get 1 point.
Yeah, I'll hear the multiple choice.
All right, was it A, Yogi Berra, B, Michael Jordan, C, Mike Tyson, or D, Josh Beckett?
Oh, I'm going to go with Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson, by the tone on your voice, I hear that you guessed, but you guessed correctly. Very good job, Aaron. You are down 2-1. And the quote is, everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the face. And then Corinne got punched in the face by her tribe. So, and got blindsided. So you are down 2-1. So good guess. Nice job there. And Rob, it is your turn for the final category. And we're going to go to Survivor Palau, the episode Neanderthal Man from April 7th, 2005, 13 years ago this coming Saturday. This is the 2v2 question. And it's that which sounds like it would have been from Exile Island, but it's not. Which two Karor members defeated Steph and Bobby John in the final tribal immunity challenge of Survivor Palau?
I'll take the multiple choices.
Okay. Was it A, Greg and Kobe, B, Greg and Tom, C, Ian and Tom, D, Ian and Jen?
I'll say it was Ian and Tom.
Ian and Tom actually competed in the reward challenge before that. So they were ineligible to compete in this tribal immunity. It was Greg and Kobe who defeated Steph and Bobby John. So no points there. Actually, pretty good strategy, I think, going for the multiple choice. You didn't want to open the door for Aaron to steal and tie the game. So you still have a 2-1 lead. We're going to go to the final question. We're going to go to, I know you're both genius fans, the death match. I have six questions. Each one has a correct and an incorrect answer. It is your choice to pick the correct answer. There are six options. You have to pick a random number between 1 and 6, and that number corresponds to a question. And once you get one wrong, you are out of this final round. We're going to go 4 guesses, and if there's a tie, we have a couple tiebreakers. So, Aaron, pick a number from 1 to 6.
5.
Okay. Who did Coach cast a throwaway vote for in the Heroes versus Villains Tribal Council in which Boston Rob went home, prompting the "You Were a Little Man" Coach quote?
He voted for Courtney.
You voted for Courtney. Yes, we have a 2-2.
Is there a
game.
Theme to this game? Or is this just random questions?
It's just right or wrong. It's just right or wrong.
Right
it's
or wrong. That's a theme.
it's a trivia.
And then, usually it's like, oh, these are okay. They're on this week in Survivor history. Blah blah blah.
I was feeling less creative this week, I guess, Rob. I don't know. It's they're Survivor history questions. That's the theme.
We're going to play a game this week. It's called Right or Wrong. I'll ask you questions and we'll find out if you're right or wrong. Got it?
Hey, it works. And Aaron took advantage of it and got the first one.
Aaron,
right.
You're pretty good at this game.
Good job, Aaron.
I just remember some things. Yeah.
So, Rob, pick a number from 1 through 6. 5 has already been taken.
1.
1. In the Survivor All-Stars Immunity Challenge, Mogo Mogo and Chapera had to answer trivia questions from Survivor history, including this one that you must answer now. Survivor Africa was filmed in which country? Was it Kenya or Nairobi?
I remember Big Tom didn't get it right. I'll say it was Kenya.
It was Kenya. You have a 3-2 lead. Good job. Yes, Big Tom didn't know what country he was in his first Survivor season. Apparently, the Mogo Mogo tribe got that wrong.
Yeah, so between us, Aaron, Big Tom kind of stinks at right or wrong.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah.
And Nairobi's the city.
Yeah, that... Nairobi's in Kenya. I think that's correct. So, Aaron, pick a number from 1 through 6.
Ooh, you know, I'm feeling akin to Mogo Mogo from these wand offs. So, you know, we're number 2.
who defeated Bobby John by eating 5 balut more quickly in the Palau Gross Food Eating Reward Challenge? Was it Ian or Tom?
Who defeated Bobby John?
Yes, in the final round of the Gross Food Eating Challenge.
Final round. I want to say it was Tom.
It was Tom, and we are tied 3-3. And Rob, it is your turn. If you get this right, you win the game. If you get it wrong, we go to the tiebreaker. So pick a number from 1 through 6.
Wait, we don't do all the questions? We're going to stop after?
This is how we've always done it. We've always done four guesses, and if you're tied after that, then we go on to we'll go on to the other two.
Okay. So the last two questions are the
right,
tiebreaker.
If you get it right, you win. Okay. Yeah, the other questions are the tiebreaker. Okay. Correct.
All right. So what numbers are left?
We have 4 and we have 3 and we have
and 6.
Step 6. Yeah. We have 4, 3,
Sorry,
and 6.
I know numbers aren't your strong suit. Okay. Let's go with number 4.
Okay. Number 4. And we're going to go back to the, Survivor All-Stars. So Mogo Mogo and Chapera, as I said before, had to answer trivia questions from Survivor history. One of these questions was, in Survivor Borneo, what specifically did the survivors eat in the first ever food eating challenge? The correct answer was butok or bug larva. Which tribe got this answer correct? Was it Mogo Mogo or Chapera?
I'll say it was Chapera.
Chapera. So there was a little bit of a trick to this question of getting this question right. There was only one person in the game at that time from Survivor Borneo. It was Jenna, who was on Mogo Mogo, and she actually got it right. So you are incorrect, Rob. We are tied 3-3. So we're going to go to the final two questions for the tiebreaker.
Okay, why? Because that was after they did the swap. They had swapped at that point.
Oh, it was swap. Yes,
that's the famous. Oh yeah, no, yeah. Okay, yeah. That's really okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
So, Aaron, you can either
tricky,
choose.
Tricky. I don't know
which numbers are left. You guys know which numbers are left.
I do. Well, four is, since being that's a fan of the genius, four is a very unlucky number in Korean. So I'm going to go with three.
Okay, three. Who did Cochran beat in the final round of the Gross Food Eating Immunity Challenge? Was it Malcolm or Eddie?
Eddie.
Eddie is incorrect. It was actually Malcolm who he beat in the final round.
What?
Eddie got to the second to last round. So you are incorrect
there.
Oh,
damn.
Rob, which means that if you get this question right, you win the quiz. Here's the question. Who calls Anil Adam the dumbest tribe name ever? Was it Michael Snow or Corinne?
Ooh.
I'll say it was Michael Snow.
Michael Snow is incorrect. It was Corinne who had, I guess, a binder in her head out there. And this the name of the Anil Adam tribe. So we are tied here, and we actually have a double tiebreaker planned for this specific situation. So we've been talking about a lot about Survivor Palau in this quiz. So as we know, Tom Westman did eat a certain number of balut. We know that in the final round he ate five, but he ate a lot more balut than that in that challenge. So what you're going to have to do on Skype, you're going to have to send me a number of how many total balut Tom Westman ate in that challenge, and whoever is closer is going to win the quiz. Now, it's not Price is Right rules, so if it doesn't matter if you are over or under, it's the number closest to the correct answer. If you're both equally close to the number, then the lower number will win the quiz.
Is this including the five that he ate in the final round?
Yes, this is including the five that he ate in the final round.
Okay. And we just message you privately?
And you just message me privately, yes. I have Rob's.
Okay.
You guys suck. You both guessed 10. The answer
is it nine?
The answer is nine. So you were both one off. So the double tiebreaker for the second time this season, you're pulling a Megan Z, and you have tied Rob in the quiz. This is fantastic, because we don't have a tiebreaker planned after this. So, Rob, what do we do in this situation?
You're prepared for anything, I guess. All contingencies have been thought of here on This Week in Survivor History.
Hey, well, look, it's very unlikely. I mean, and you guys got
it's the second time this has happened in 4 weeks.
Okay. Well, what are you going to do? We did have a double tiebreaker this time. I don't know. I mean, how many tiebreakers do you need to plan? They take a long time.
You got anything?
Okay, I do have a question that I wrote last week that was not used.
Okay.
And what I can do here is I could ask this question. It's from last week in Survivor History, and you can buzz in. The first to buzz in gets the answer the question first. I won't give the multiple choice. If the first person gets it wrong, the second person has a chance to answer. Is that fair? Okay. Is that fair for both of you guys?
Fine.
Okay.
How do we buzz in?
Type one letter. It doesn't matter what letter. Whoever just types in first is the person who buzzes. Okay, here's the question. Who claimed to practice cell phone slide puzzles at home during the strategizing phase of the reward challenge for peanut butter and jelly sandwiches? I see a Skype, and it looks like...
I'll say it was Sandra.
Sandra's incorrect.
Did you? I don't think you even said what season or episode.
Yeah, I didn't say the season. Okay, this is from Survivor Game Changers.
Oh, okay.
Who claimed to practice cell phone slide puzzles at home during the strategizing phase of the reward challenge for peanut butter and jelly sandwiches?
Do I say an answer?
Yes.
Okay. Andrea?
That is incorrect. Rob, it is your guess.
Oh, we get to keep going until we get it right?
We have to get a winner.
Survivors from Game Changers.
Okay. I'll say... that it was Zeke.
Zeke is correct. And Rob, you were the winner of the quiz. Aaron, you come in second place, just like we normally do in the Wandoff.
Aaron, was that an ugly victory or a beautiful defeat?
It was a beautiful defeat, I think, you know.
All right. Follow the great Aaron Robertson every week in the Wandoff and on social media. He is at SPI7Fan. Is that still your Twitter handle?
It got changed.
Oh, what is it now?
That's worse than like Bradley underscore whatever.
Hey, I didn't say that.
You were thinking it.
What?
My new Twitter handle is actually at @AAlogic.
AAAlogic.
I like it better.
Okay. Aaron, thank you so much. Jordan, you've done it again.
Yes, and you have a two-game winning streak. Congratulations, and whoever's coming in next week is running into a buzzsaw.
Yes, okay. All right, take care, everybody. Have a good one.
All right, too.
All right, take care, guys.
All right,
bye.
Bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it. This week in Survivor history. Again, if you want to take me on, and again, I'm on a little bit of a hot streak now, so maybe you want to back off, go ahead and leave us some feedback at robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. I'm getting ready, going to speak with Jessica Johnston coming up here in a little bit. Rumor has it is also her birthday today, so very exciting to have that all taking place in one day. We also, I've been talking about how we have our new affiliate link for Amazon.com. When you go to Amazon.com/shop/RHAP, the link is right there on robhasawebsite.com. We have our new store page where I'm trying to add items that we're talking about here on the show. With all these cursed items on Ghost Island, I thought it was very important to learn how to reverse the curse. There is a book, How to Identify and Remove Curses by Gary V. Whitestone, available in paperback. I've added that to the Rob Has a Podcast store. You can go ahead and check that out or anything you need from Amazon.com. That is an affiliate link. And we do receive a small commission when you use our link for Amazon.com. You don't pay anything extra. That link again is Amazon.com/shop/RHAP. And we always appreciate it when you think of us and use that link. Okay, so I'm going to get ready for Jessica, of course, voicemail podcast coming up with Aubrey over the weekend. Get your feedback questions in as well. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. We'll be right back.